They kind of patterned a little bit on Pilgrim's Progress, which was a book that used to be in every home back then. And some folks probably look at you like you're crazy when you mention it nowadays, but anyway, by that old Baptist preacher John Bunyan, that spent plenty of time in an English jail for preaching the gospel without a license. And they did that to our Baptist forebears here in America, too, early on in the colonial period. And some folks stood up and fought for them, even though they weren't Baptists, like Pastor Henry and others. So, yeah, I don't need a license from the state. And the only ordination I need is from the Lord's people, this church. That's the ordination's a call of God's people, their recognition of those things. I don't need to go to some convention or association or conglomerate. I work for the Lord, and you're His people, and you're all supposed to keep me straight. So, you know, that's part of the deal. So you all do that too. Make sure these things are according to the book. Okay, we've been talking about Abraham, and this fifth week now, talking about Abraham our father. And we've been focusing primarily on one verse. God chose Abraham. Abraham is a very significant figure. He had feet of clay, just like we do. He was a sinner in need of God's grace. But God deigned to use him. And this should encourage us, that God might use us and that we might stand as Abraham. And it ought to make us grateful that God has been pleased to give us like precious faith with Abraham. The faith of Abraham, which is the faith of Christ. Human faith will not prevail, but the faith of Christ will. Well, the verse we were focusing on, and I'll just real quickly bring us up to where we were. Genesis 18 and verse 19. God said, "For I know him," speaking of Abraham, and speaking of his everlasting knowledge, his foreknowledge, his love for him, as Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah, "I love thee with an everlasting love." God loved us before we were, because humanly speaking, we're not everlasting, and yet, in God's sovereignty and omnipotence, we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. And those that were in Christ were atoned for on Calvary's cross. He knew his people. And so the Lord said of Abraham, "For I know him." He's one of mine. "For I know him." And beyond that, he says that he will command his children and his household after him. God deigns and enables and prepares and shapes and molds us. God says, "I know he'll command his children," even as Abraham was called to command and to lead and to direct and be a head of a household, to be a father, to be a head of a clan, if you will. And you remember the whole episode when he went out and put together his personal militia, you know, to free his nephew, Lot, from marauders. God says, "I know he'll command his children and his household after him." And even as we talked about, Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Lord calls us to do that. And the Lord prepares us to do that and strengthens us to do that. And then the third portion we started last week and didn't near finish is, and they, that is his children and household, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. In God's grace and God's sovereignty, he deigned that Abraham's descendants would keep, to retain, to guard, to protect, to preserve the way of the Lord. And as we're told in the Proverbs, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now we're called to keep those things, to preserve those things, to guard those things, that our children might know, and that it might be passed on to subsequent generations. Jeremiah 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Ask for the old paths. Know the old paths. It'll tie in here if I can remember it long enough. But when I was checking out and reviewing this, they don't even call it a church ministry. It's up north of Nashville. And again, I'm not saying they're not Christians or anything, but there were some issues I had there, and I was trying to research it and find, and I came across old Michael Jeshurun. And you may or may not remember that name, but I've put stuff from him in our paper in the past. And he didn't want to have to deal with it, he said, but he dealt with some of the issues there, and so it was a blessing. And then when you look at some of these other folks out there, there's like a rational wiki, or a wiki rational or something, where they talk about crazy people like us, you know, and they had Michael Jeshurun in there. And these folks are just liars. They talked about his, and they called him all his fundamentalism. Well, I don't think he's really a fundamentalist. He's not a fundamentalist. I mean, I know what a fundamentalist is. And then he talked about, well, and he has his blog, and he writes on it, and he uses other folks, but they must just be pen names because these people are dead. Well, Michael puts things on his blog from men who are dead and yet speak. I'm thankful for that. You know, the Lord's given me a library, and he kept me from things because he taught me things from dead men. And I've been taught most of what I know I learned by the grace of God, from dead men. And so they say, oh yeah, because the folks who write in his blog use pen names like A.W. Pink and Phil Pott. And he said, well, they're all dead. So obviously, I know Pink and I know Phil Pott. Well, I don't know him after the flesh. Actually, Pink didn't die until I was a young man, but Phil Pott had been long dead. But I know them, and what Michael Jeshurun puts on his blog, and Jeshurun is a Indian, like you know, that country over there, and he puts them in his blog, but it's their writings. I know them. I've recognized them. But here, this wiki, right? Rational wiki or something they call it. They talk about he's a nut, and, you know, like he's not honest, and these people just blatant lies. I'm thankful for the dead men the Lord's been pleased to use. Abraham, we've talked about, you know, and Joshua, and someday, maybe by the grace of God, you and me, if he tarries. Stand in the ways and ask for the old paths. Well, you got to know them. You know, This is the way. This is the old path. We have to identify them. We have to point them out. Now, here's what's going to happen when you do that. You know the end of that verse, right? Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see after the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We're not going to do that. That's not what we want to do. That's not what appeals to us. Don't matter. We do. By the grace of God, our job, our duty. And the current state of America is largely due to poor and absent fathers and poor and absent training and failure to pass on these things. Most of them, it's astounding. You've all seen the various research they do. These modern kids have no clue about the early days of America or the Constitution, for what little bit it's worth, or any of those things. They haven't a clue. They even ask them, you know, who fought in the Civil War. They don't know. America and Great Britain or something. They don't know. They have some of the most bizarre things. Well, we have to instruct. We have to pass on. And we looked at one of the instructions that's been very prominent to the Jews through the years. It's called the Shema, that appears in Deuteronomy 6. And it's precious, particularly to the Torah Jews. Most of the Jews today, even the so-called Orthodox ones, are influenced by this Talmud and stuff. And within the Talmud was actually incorporated some of the old the Midrashes and all from the time before Christ, which were old commentaries, and there was some value to those as a commentary. But since then, you know, the Talmud just was hate Christ, hate Christians, and so forth. I say all that because it's true. I say what I believe the Scriptures teach as well. I don't believe God is finished with the Jews. But don't be mistaken in thinking they're our friends or our buddies. Most of them aren't. Most of them aren't. But God gave this to His people, to the Jews, to Israel. The Shema after the time of Abraham. And the instructions that we saw there that are given to fathers. And we pointed out how these are masculine singular pronouns. And that it's more evident in your King James Bible. As I mentioned, my friend who we supported on the mission field, that well, you look at that church he was preaching out there, and they had every perversion you could imagine, and he was recommending using the ESV this week and the Contemporary English Version this week, and I use it, and it's like, and people take it, it's like, let me find one that says it the way that I want it to say it, and if it doesn't, I'll write one myself, and that's about where we are.
Right.
God spoke in God's Word, King James Bible, based on the Masoretic texts and the Textus Receptus, is God's Word in English language. And it's based on the right texts, which is God's breath word. And again, the thees and the thous, and when you see thee and thou, and they say, oh, that old English stuff, it's hard to understand. Yeah, if you don't have it, it's hard to understand what's happening in the Scripture. And so God was saying, I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons. This was the heads of household, the fathers in Israel. And the Shema actually begins in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's the most prominent of And that's the beginning of what is usually counted as Shema proper. The Lord our God is one Lord. You know, there's one God. One God. The Lord our God is one Lord. And again, and point out again that the Lord our God, the Lord is all caps. And when in your King James Bible, Lord is all caps, that means the underlying word there is Jehovah. And now as I'm going off on things, I'll probably go off on this maybe too much, but I'm very leery of folks that want to talk about Yahweh and Yeshua and Yah. And Brother Gill, who was one of the most renowned, they called him a Hebraist or whatever. He understood these things. And he argued strongly for the use of Jehovah. And I'm uncomfortable. I'm leery of these other things. But when your King James Bible has all caps Lord, that means the underlying word there is Jehovah. The Hebrew word Jehovah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou, masculine singular, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And I think we left off there last week. But the first step is that you have to, God has to internalize it in you. It has to be implanted there before you can share it, if you will, with your children or your grandchildren or those about you. Or like the old black preacher I think I closed with last week. I said, you know, trying to teach somebody something you ain't never learned is like trying to come back from someplace you ain't never been. I don't know how you would do that. And that's the point. Profound words from somebody who probably, he didn't have his PhD, I doubt. Didn't have his MDiv. Didn't even have a master of theology or bachelor's. He didn't have any of that. But the Lord taught him. From his word. They have to be in your own heart. And then the second portion there, the second step, if you will, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach your children as you go about your life, as you go your way. I hope I didn't. I was thinking about this verse, and I was thinking more and more that, you know, if I really feel like I ought to say something, like I expand upon what I'm singing, or the hymns, or a prayer list, it's kind of like what the Lord's telling fathers here. He says, as you're going your way. You know, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou raisest up, it's like, you know, when you're singing the introduction, or when the prelude hymn, or the congregational song, or special music, you know, all those things. It's not like you're. So we're going to compartmentalize this, and I can't be talking about other things there, because maybe I should be. I probably have always done that to some extent, but I'm inclined more to do that as I thought about this, you know, this week. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You be careful about it. It's not just flipping. It's not off the... And I speak things that the Lord's taught me, but He's taught me through study, through reading the Bible, through trying to walk after men that He used in the past, dead men who've spoken to me. Not in that way. But they're dead, yet they speak.
Right.
What a blessing that is, isn't it? The printed word that I can... A.W. Pink can speak to me. And generally the word of God he speaks to me. Brother Philpott, Brother Gill. Thou shalt diligently, thou shalt teach him diligently unto thy children. Not just, you know, off the cuff, something you make up as you go on the fly. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Teach your children by your life, by your words, because all these things are living. You're walking, you're lying down, you're rising up. And then thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. These are supposed to guide your entire life. And he uses here physical and literal things, but the real implication, the teaching is here that we're to be guided and directed by God's word in everything. If you just bind them on your hand or your arm as a phylactery, you put a Bible verse there, and I can't ever remember the name of that book. I found it one time. I kept looking long, and it was hard to find, but when I was a kid, I remember the librarian read to us, not the kind of books you're reading to kids today, by the way, but the librarian read us a book about a little duck, and the little duck somehow came in possession of a book and walked all around with that book under its arm. Thought it was so superior. There was so much more knowledgeable, so much more, because he walked every place around with that book under his arm. Didn't make him any more knowledgeable or superior or intelligent unless he read the book. But he walked around with it. And the point of that, again, was that just having books or having the external appearance of things isn't good enough. They used to teach kids stuff like that in elementary school. That kind of thing. Not things today that we can't even speak of here amongst adults. So, you're to bind them as a sign on your hand, frontlets between your eyes. These were all phylacteries, they called them. Again, the little box you put scripture in and tied it on your arm. And generally, you did that, not all of them, but generally you did that and forgot about it, right? And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, which, again, they called the mezuzah, and usually they actually had a little scroll in there of this shema. And they tack it up to their house, and you could tell a Jewish house, and it would be there on the door. I guess it wasn't healthy in some circumstances for them to be able to identify a Jewish house, but that's what they did. And they're supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be everywhere. It's supposed to be a total part of our life. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee again unto the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So God's going to bless you. He's going to give you things that you didn't even labor for. You walk in his ways. You do his will. You instruct and pass on these things. And so fathers, that's the instructions to pass on. God will bless it. We'll see it in our kids. Well, we may not be the richest guy in town. Who cares? If our kids walk in the way of the Lord, that's what the Apostle John writes about in his epistle. Nothing gives him greater joy to see his children walk in the ways of the Lord. there's the part we always need. Comes in verse 12. I like when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and said, stand in the past and ask for the old ways. There's that sobering reminder. Verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Say, okay, the Lord blessed. The Lord honored his word. He honored obedience. He honored these things. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Better beware. Say, oh, we don't need it. We got, Paul wrote to some of the Christians. They were like, you know, I think it was Corinthians, you know, you're all fat, you're all full, you're all intelligent. You have need of no thanks. Or maybe it's John also in Revelation alludes to that as one of the churches. You know, you don't need it. You've got it made in the shade. You know, you're the wise ones. You're the holy ones. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Kind of sounds like someplace I know, like America. Beware lest you forget the Lord. Now, we've forgotten God. We've left God out. We've kicked God out of most things. You know? Yeah, I'm a product of public schools. It probably shows. But the public schools here in Florida, when I was a kid growing up, we said the Lord's Prayer every day. We had a portion of Scripture read every day. Every day. And I can remember, like in fifth grade or whatever, you know, I got to have my turn, and I picked if I remember right, I did like Lazarus and the Rich Man. And read that passage of Scripture to the class. What would happen today if they tried to do something like that? But it's okay to teach kids stuff that we can't mention here in mixed company, or even just a company of men. It's embarrassing what goes on. God knew that Abraham would not only set standards, but he would see to it that those standards were adhered to. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. And it brings us to that next portion. And do justice and judgment. And do justice and judgment. It's not just something you believe or something that you swear to, but they will do justice. And that's what we're called to do, to be doers and not simply hearers and speakers. We'll maybe finish this up next week, maybe not. But the proof is in the pudding. You know, you can say, oh, I believe this, I believe that. I'm a Sovereign Grace Baptist. I remember going to meet, and the one preacher had a card that said, I think it was if you don't preach it, or it could have been if you don't live it. But if you don't preach it, you don't believe it. I mean, I have preachers that tell me this. I believe like you do, but I don't preach that. You know, I can't preach that. Why not? Have you forgotten the Lord? We're called to do justice and judgment. The proof is in the pudding. It's in the doing. It's not simply in the saying and in the outward accoutrements of Christianity. I mean, I know churches that claim to be Sovereign Grace, Landmark Baptist, and you wouldn't know it. You could go there for years and you wouldn't know it. But the preacher says they are because that's what he believes. Nobody else there believes it because they've never heard it. I don't know very much, and I'll have time to teach everything, every little bit that even I know. But I seek to proclaim the truth and to pass on that knowledge and to bring people up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, even if it's things that initially they may not sit right. That's not my problem. Not that I don't love you all, but that's not my problem. We're to do as the Lord commands and instructs. Acting aright. So simple. And yet it's so complicated and difficult. Like everything else in the Christian life, it requires regeneration. You have to be born again of the Spirit of God, and He has to empower. He has to strengthen. Again, we can tell people to do this, but unless the Lord powers them and brings it about, it won't happen. Like I said, I used to, before I even understood the things of the doctrines of grace and all, you know, I hear you tell people, well, just believe. How do you just start? You just believe? Just start believing? You didn't before, and now you decide that you're going? I mean, how would that work? It doesn't. It takes the faith of Christ. It takes the gift of God. And when that gift comes, we believe. And before we believe, the gift of life comes and we realize what a wretch we are and our need and our condition. And I'm still a wretch. And I can't speak for the rest of y'all. But God is gracious. Okay, we'll continue on here. Maybe wrap it up next week and go on from there. By the grace of God, may we walk in His ways, His path, and may He sustain us and give us the strength and courage to do it. Number 124, will Jesus find us watching? I pray that He will, and I pray that if it be His will, He might do that soon. But number 124, will Jesus find us watching? You can stand as we sing this closing hymn.
When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? If that's the dawn of the early morning, He shall call us one by one. Restore our talents, will He answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Have we been true to the trust He left us? Do we seek to do our best? If in our hearts there is naught condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. shall share. If he shall come as the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here, for the traveling mercies you gave us to gather. Pray you go with us as we go our ways. Use us in this coming week. Lord, we pray that we might be found faithful, that we might be found watching, Lord, that we might be faithful fathers, mothers, leaders, faithful watchmen, warning of the evil that approaches. Oh, we need your grace to be who and what we ought to be, to do those things, to live those things, to pass them on. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace and working in the lives of those who went before us. Men like Abraham and many others in more recent times that you've used. Father, help us to trust as we ought, and thus to serve as we ought. Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love for your people, that you knew your people, that you loved your people with an everlasting love. Lord, what comfort that gives us. What peace as we rest and trust upon our Savior alone. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah.